Christopher Price joins us now, Patriots writer for Boston Sports Journal. Christopher, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a little bit more depressing for the folks in Indianapolis than it is in New England because they get to keep their coordinator.
Yes, definitely.
Hey, we'll give you $5 or $6 million to be our head coach. Nah, I don't want it.
Yeah, what do we make of this?
It's a really interesting story. It's my understanding that as of, you know, around about this time yesterday, Josh was ticketed to Indianapolis, and he was in his office cleaning out his stuff, and he had a conversation with Bill Belichick and or Robert Kraft, and the longer that conversation went on, maybe a few more zeros were added to his contract, and they kind of went from there, and before you know it, he's sticking around New England. And the Colts had an agreement in place. They had a handshake agreement in place, and Josh called Chris Ballard yesterday, probably around 7 o'clock or so, if the timeline is correct, and said, "I'm not coming to India. I'm sticking around New England." And so both teams are kind of moving forward from here. But, you know, from a continuity perspective, it's good for the Patriots. But I will say this, that when it comes to maybe pursuing a head coaching job down the road, I have to imagine that Josh McDaniels' name is fundamentally nuclear or radioactive, I guess, at this point, because, you know, considering the way it ended for him in Denver, considering the way it ended for him in St. Louis when he kind of washed out of the coordinator, now, you know, kind of leaving the Colts at the altar, it's going to be really interesting to see if somewhere down the road he's going to be able to find a head coaching job or if he's just decided to kind of, you know, stick around New England for an extended period of time. We'll see.
Well, I was going to say, does that even matter? Because to me, it seems that even if we disagree on how much longer Bill Belichick is going to be with the New England Patriots, that this was a stamp of writing on the wall. Josh McDaniels will be his predecessor.
Yeah, it really. I mean, that's the unspoken thing here. It's my understanding that there have been no assurances given to McDaniels, at least as we sit here right now on Wednesday afternoon. But you have to imagine that there's some sort of deal in place, some sort of unspoken or spoken, you know, agreement between McDaniels and the franchise that he's going to be the guy, you know, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is down the road, that's going to end up replacing Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I'm going max 2 years, and there had to be a guarantee because, as you said, he's going to be nuclear before, you know, redoing his whole image for everyone else. So he's going to have to take over in New England. I say max 2 years. I wanted to ask you, who's next in line for the Colts for a head coaching job?
There's a handful of guys out there. I know that they're talking to Frank Reich, the Eagles offensive coordinator. Dave Tube is a name that keeps coming up time and again. My colleague Greg Bedard is a big fan of his, the special teams coach in Kansas City, who really, in the eyes of a lot of folks around the league, deserves a head coaching shot. So there's some names out there, but, you know, it is fairly, I don't want to say late in the process, but it's later than you'd like if you're a Colts fan. The other big takeaway for me was hearing Chris Ballard talk today about how the rivalry is back on between the Patriots and the Colts. And I think that, you know, adds a little spice to things, considering that Indianapolis comes into Foxborough or is scheduled to come into Foxborough in 2018. So the Colts have a few names out there. They're still kicking around a few ideas. But I have to imagine that they're going to move on this fairly quickly.
That's quite the punch up, though, right now for the
Andrew
Colts.
Luck can't throw a ball yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no rivalry going on right now.
The rivalry's on. No, it's not.
Look,
we don't care.
This is a really good question, and I think, you know, needs to be part of this conversation. Did Josh McDaniels? I know that. Look, we're talking about money, and, you know, McDaniels, I know, has a young family that he, you know, feels a little more comfortable raising around here for whatever reason than Indianapolis. But I wonder if Andrew Luck's health played a role in all of this. I thought it was interesting that Adam Schefter kind of went out of his way to remind all of us yesterday that both he and Mort reported on Sunday that there's the possibility of more surgery in Andrew Luck's future. And I wonder if that played a role in his thinking, because with Luck, with a healthy Andrew Luck, that's a really attractive job. Without Andrew Luck, there are all of a sudden a bunch of questions around that franchise.
I just love that the Patriots were a little bit sympathetic for a couple of days. And people were appreciating,
They went out like champs should.
Yeah,
what a performance. At least they've given us all these spectacular Super Bowls.
So many great Super Bowls.
Nah,
and
screw
Tom
that.
Brady. And then they just couldn't help themselves. McDaniels was like, let's turn heel again. We can't be a baby face. Let's go back to healing it up. Woo! Everybody's all together.
Well, think about this. It's been 2+ days, but we're almost 3 days now into the offseason. And let's review. Josh McDaniels agrees to take the job in Indianapolis, head coaching job, and then changes his mind. Malcolm Butler, that whole circus between him and Bill Belichick has gone on, and Butler's issued a statement saying, look, I didn't break curfew, I didn't do anything I shouldn't be doing. And in Rob Gronkowski's house, we find out, has been broken into. And so look, the Patriots, no matter what you think of the Patriots, they're certainly great theater. I'll say that.
Oh, we'll miss them when this era is done, whenever that comes to. all right. So yeah, let's delve into the Malcolm Butler thing.
Sorry, just before we do that, I want to know what your sense is of Bill Belichick in terms of how long his tenure is going to be. Because Matthew said 2 years, and I do wonder, watching all this criticism of Belichick, if you think that maybe, because you didn't tell us how much longer you think he's going to be there. Do you get any sense?
I think he's going to. I'll say this. I know I'm 99% certain that he's going to be the head coach in 2018, but Brady's going to be the quarterback in 2018. I think the whole thing is going to continue on for at least 2 more years, 2018 and 2019. That's what I will commit to. That's what my friend Tom Curran calls educated conjecture when it comes to covering the Patriots. I think, not going on a year-to-year basis, but I think 2019, then it starts to get a little questionable. But I think at the very least for the next 2 years, minimum. He's going to be around.
All right. So I guess we have to take Malcolm Butler at his word that this was entirely performance related. It seems like a really drastic move to make, to go from 97% of defensive snaps to zero and just one time taking the field on special teams. But I guess if Malcolm Butler's to be believed, this was entirely, hey, you weren't good enough. We don't think you give us the best chance to win on Sunday. Do you believe that?
I think on the surface, that is becoming more and more of a realistic explanation. I have to imagine that there is going to be more information that is going to come to light between now and, say, whenever free agency starts, because it's one thing to issue that statement and say that, look, this is where I stood. It was, this is where I was over the course of the Super Bowl week, mentally, physically. I would never do anything to hurt my team. But you're talking about a guy who's going into free agency with a question mark over his head now. This is the most recent image that we have of him is of him on the sidelines crying during the Super Bowl. And so I think that he is going to go on some sort of, I don't want to say image rehabilitation tour, but I think he's going to do more to try and get his message out there than what he's already done, because it was very curious. As you mentioned, this is a guy who played 90% of the snaps over the course of the 2017 season, only played one special team snap in the Super Bowl. Really, really odd for the Patriots to make the decision that they did. He said it was from a personnel perspective, but again, I have to imagine that there is going to be more that's going to come out between now and the start of free agency in roughly a month as to what went into that decision.
I think we all think that there's more to the story, but a player is never going to be said that he missed curfew and this happened and there were so many things that went on, and to come out and refute it means to me that he did not do it. Because I'm not saying that there wasn't something that happened.
Right.
But he is putting an exclamation point on the fact that I did not miss curfew. And a player's not going to come out and say that if he actually missed curfew, because he will be called to the table and it'll come out. Bill Belichick or someone at some point would say, you have. What really makes it interesting to me is Garoppolo sending out the tweet that you are a great teammate, blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady liking the tweet, and that's the social media day that we live in. That's going right up against your head coach one more time.
Yeah, it really is. I will say this, two different things. First of all, I spoke with Malcolm during the week. I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, and I was part of a group of reporters who were around him. He was a guy. He was a little sick. Over the course of the week, he did not fly out with the team because of that sickness. But when we talked to him on Wednesday or Thursday, he sounded like he was healthy. He sounded like he was ready to go. He said that, he was a little bit, under the weather, but, things had kind of taken a turn for the better. He was feeling good going into the game. He was in good spirits. Everything certainly appeared to be pointed in the right direction, both mentally and physically, a couple of days before the game. The other thing that's really important to remember here, too, Malcolm is a really emotional guy, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I have to imagine, again, like I said, he's going to say something, whether probably he wants to or not, if that makes any sense. He's a guy who his emotions are really close to the surface almost all the time, in my experience with him. And he's going to come out and he's going to give, you know, someone the straight story again between now and then. But it is interesting the way it all kind of came together on Super Bowl Sunday for him to be able to kind of have that career arc from Super Bowl 49, where he was the unknown guy who came in to replace Kyle Arrington in a difficult situation, ends up making the game saving play. And then what, 3 years later to have it end like this, I think is just really unfortunate for him in his career, because he represented in a lot of ways everything that the Patriots look for in one of those players. He's a perfect team building player, undrafted free agent, kind of a diamond in the rough type of prospect, was able to shoot to stardom, was able to continue to play at a very high level, even though that, he may not have been paid what he thought he should have been paid. But again, to have it all kind of come out like this is a little bit difficult to see when you get to know a guy over the course of 3+ years.
Who knows how real the actual contentiousness is between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and maybe they're going to have that meeting, maybe they're not. But you got to figure there's at least some level of disagreement between the two. And I can't help but think that this is just more ammunition on the side of Brady, who was spectacular in that game on Sunday, save for the fumble. But that was an incredible defensive play. He did all he could with the 500 yards. And it was Bill Belichick's defense. And when you look at it, such a tight game, a one-possession game, that one guy could have been the difference. I can't help but feel like, Christopher, that this is just not just – for Tom Brady, but for the entire city of Boston, if you're taking sides in this one, this is just another bullet in the chamber on the side of Tom Brady and against Bill Belichick.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's important in the context of this conversation also to reiterate the fact that the idea that McDaniels is sticking around is a win for Brady, because Brady feels really, really comfortable working with him. There's an organizational shorthand in there that they've built up over the years. McDaniels was gone for a couple of years, but fundamentally they've been together for the better part of the last decade plus. And so at this stage of his career, I think Brady is probably more comfortable with a guy that he knows, as opposed to them going out and getting another offensive coordinator or promoting wide receivers coach Chad O'Shea to the offensive coordinator spot. That's not necessarily a shot at O'Shea, but when you consider the comfort level that exists between Brady and McDaniels, this really sets up as a big win for McDaniels, the Patriots' ability to keep him within the franchise, to keep him working with Brady for another 2, 3, 4 years, to be able to be Brady's counterpoint, to be able to be the guy who that they can kind of bounce ideas off of. So if you're breaking down winners and losers here, I know that we talked about McDaniels and his relationship, his reputation. When you chalk it up against the rest of the league, the 31 other teams is pretty much in tatters, at least from a head coaching perspective. The fact that he's back in New England represents a win for the Patriots. And when you consider his relationship with Tom Brady, that's a big positive if you're a New England fan.
What I find most surprising about all of this is that Bill Belichick is taking so much heat for this decision, though. Does this not surprise you? Because we've been told about the Patriot way, and then Belichick makes a decision, and all of a sudden everyone is questioning it, and we're discussing Malcolm Butler as though he was Deion Sanders in his prime, and that this completely blew the game. And I just can't help but think, if I'm Bill Belichick, and everyone's ripping me, and I have to hear every Boston sports radio station questioning my decision, and Tom Brady's going on Instagram and basically publicly stumping for Malcolm Butler, saying that I love you, you're a great teammate, you've done nothing wrong, or whatever it was. And who was it? It was Dante Hightower, I believe, that was liking Brandon Brown.
Hightower.
Right.
Yeah, a bunch of players.
Exactly.
Liked it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got your locker room that's maybe a little divisive against you and Tom Brady. If any of that, if I'm Seth Wickersham, by the way, he's the biggest winner.
Was it Hightower too, or was it someone else that said... A bunch of guys
liked the
Brandon Browner
in Brandon Browner's post.
Yes.
It was Hightower, Johnson Batamosi, Landon Roberts, Jamie Collins, who played in New England up until last year. So yeah, there were a bunch of guys who gave a thumbs up to that.
Was that the one also that said that, if someone else did it, that it would be fine, you can get away with it, but he wasn't one of his boys?
No, it was just the one where it was Browner kind of stuck up for for Butler. And then like that, and then everyone went and liked Butler's post from yesterday as well. That was the one where Tom Brady gave it a big thumbs up. So look, I think two things are important here when you talk about that. First of all, Belichick has quote unquote lost the locker room before. And it's funny, I tweeted out today that, you know, I'm old enough now to remember the first time Belichick lost the locker room. That was in 2003 in, you know, the week one, and they lost Lawyer Malloy. They lost the game with the Bills 31-0. They came back and then won the Super Bowl. You know, the same story has been written in 2003, 2006 after they traded Deion Branch, 2008 after they traded Richard Seymour, 2009 after they just had a mentally soft locker room, and then 2016 after they traded Jamie Collins. I've seen this story before. I'm not saying it's going to turn out the same way, but if there's a coach in the National Football League who's been around long enough to survive something like this, it's Belichick. And it really, the most important thing is if you have Brady in your corner, Brady is the tone setter for that locker room. Because if I look at Tom Brady, and I'm the 53rd guy in that roster, and I see Brady getting in and he's the first guy in and the last guy out, I know I have to continue to work at that level if I want to be able to stick around. If Belichick treats him, you know, quote unquote, like the 53rd guy in the roster, I think that, you know, that there is a process there that suggests to me that Belichick will be able to get the locker room back under control. I'm not denying that they're at a crossroads here, at least from a roster perspective. But at the same time, again, history tells me that, you know, Belichick's going to figure it out. And I also think, too, it's important to remember, my other point here is that they're all clear-eyed and practical enough. When you talk about Brady and Kraft and Belichick, they're going to figure out a way to square this all away. My colleague Greg Bedard said today, you know, he has a feeling that the three families are going to sit down and, you know, hash all this out, you know, sooner rather than later. So, but their track record suggests that, you know, even though there are going to be times where ego gets in the way, where personal agendas get in the way, where little petty beasts get in the way, these three guys, more maybe than anyone in the National Football League, understand what it takes to keep a successful franchise moving forward. They'll get it figured out sooner rather than later.
It's like our show.
Yeah, they'll share a cannoli. It'll be fine. It'll be great. Christopher, thanks for doing this.
Sounds good, my friend. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thank you. All right, you too. Christopher Price, Patriots writer, Boston Sports Journal.